What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 320, episode 320 of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, the Super Bowl is now set. The AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game was yesterday. It's over and done with. So I'm going to recap both of those games and give my opinions about them. The Royal Rumble was this weekend. Y'all know I usually dive into some wrestling, some sports entertainment here and there. I mainly do it when the big events happen. And for those of y'all that don't know, if you've been a wrestling fan for so many years like myself, you do know that the Royal Rumble is the introduction to the road to WrestleMania. You know, it's the first pay-per-view of the new year, January. So Royal Rumble is the first pay-per-view event that leads to the road to WrestleMania. So I'm going to give my recap from the Royal Rumble as well. And I want to speak on something that's very dear to my heart. And that would be women's college basketball at this point. How do I feel about it at this point? Yeah, this is going to be a good episode. But first, let's get straight into the NFL, the AFC and NFC championship game recaps. Listen, before the season started, I did a prediction episode. And I said that my Super Bowl matchup would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. That was my prediction, okay? My NFC championship game was the Eagles and the Niners. Now, obviously, I got that wrong because the Eagles did not make it. The Niners made it, and surprisingly so, the Detroit Lions. My AFC prediction, I got that right from the get-go. I said it would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, my only hiccup was, whose house would it be in? I didn't think it would be in Baltimore. I thought it would be in Kansas City. Needless to say, it didn't matter. My prediction worked. Both teams that I said was going to go, wound up going. And my prediction came to light. Kansas City won on the AFC side. San Francisco won on the NFC side. But let's just do AFC first. Now, I was able to watch this game at its entirety because I was at work, and the unit that I was working at, I was able to watch the game fully. And basically, from the first quarter to probably halftime, I thought Kansas City was going to win this game. I thought Kansas City was going to win. They controlled the pace. They basically was killing Baltimore in that first half as it pertains to third down conversions, getting the ball down the field, and most importantly, killing the clock. Like, there was plenty of possessions where, like, take Kansas City's first touchdown, for example. They used 10 plays for 80 yards, and they took 6 minutes off the clock. Almost 6 minutes off the clock. Then, their next possession, they scored another touchdown, and they had 16 plays for a little over 9 minutes. So, the game went relatively fast because Kansas City was killing the clock, but not only was they killing the clock, but they was getting touchdowns. They controlled the pace of this game. Patrick Mahomes played an amazing game. Travis Kelce played an amazing game, which I'm not surprised. He even broke Jerry Rice's record for most receptions in the playoffs. And if you could break a Jerry Rice record, then that right there tells you you wanted something. Steve Spagnuolo, hopefully I said his last name right, the coordinator for the Chiefs, did an amazing job containing Lamar Jackson. That defense caused a couple of turnovers. They caused the fumble on Lamar Jackson. And I think Lamar Jackson, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he threw two interceptions. If I'm not mistaken, I think he threw two interceptions. I knew he threw one late in the fourth quarter. No, he threw one interception, pardon himself. But the point is this. What we wanted from Lamar Jackson, we did not get in this game. Now, from the outside looking in, y'all gonna say, oh, he had almost 300 passing yards. He did good. Not really. Because if you really want to keep it a buck, and we're gonna keep it all the way a buck on Sports with Dre Day podcast. If it wasn't for his touchdown to Zay Flowers, which was in the first quarter, he almost got sacked. He scrambled and then just threw it. And Zay Flowers caught the touchdown. Then it was another play in the fourth quarter where he threw something nice to Zay Flowers. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was a big play. But however, it got defused because of a taunting call. I blame Zay Flowers for that because you just don't taunt. But see, that's where the lack of experience comes into play in these type games. He don't know nothing about that. So all he knows is, okay, I caught the ball. I'm gonna taunt you. But what did you do? They pushed it back. You know what I'm saying? So for me, Lamar Jackson had a few key moments in the game. But for somebody that's about to win MVP, this was supposed to be the game where you shine the brightest because when we think of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, we obviously know who's number one. That's Patrick Mahomes. If you're tired of hearing that talk about Patrick Mahomes being better than you, if you're tired of hearing that conversation that you're third or fourth best quarterback, you could have silenced all of that with a great performance in this game, and you didn't do it. Because let's keep it a buck. The Baltimore Ravens defense did their part. They did their part. They gave up two touchdowns, which was the Travis Kelce touchdown, the Pacheco touchdown in the second quarter, and then they gave up a field goal before halftime. That's 17 points. They gave up 17 points for the rest of the whole game. So the third quarter and the fourth quarter, Lamar Jackson, you couldn't do nothing. Your defense held up their end. You didn't hold up your end. So you know what we call that, right? I know what we call that in New York. I don't know what they're gonna call that in Baltimore, but out here in New York, we call that a choke job. And that's what you did yesterday in that football game, a choke job. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say you're the James Harden of football because I've seen a couple of my mans post that on their pages. They're calling you the James Harden of the NFL, meaning that you're great in the regular season. But when it comes playoff time, you're a choke artist. But I mean, we got to call a spade. You've played in six playoff games so far, and you're 2-4. This was the season where it shouldn't have been no excuse. You was the number one seed, and you got home field advantage throughout the whole playoffs. What was the excuse? And then to be the best, you got to beat the best. If anything, this is the way you wanted it to go. You wanted to play the Chiefs. You wanted to have it in your house, and you stinked up the joint. But it's a lot to blame for this game. A lot. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to blame the defense because, again, the defense did their part. They only gave up 17 points, and that was in the first half. There's a lot to blame for this. Zay Flowers fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line. You don't fumble that, we might be talking a whole different ball game. Lamar Jackson, if you don't throw that interception in the end zone to, I forgot who it was that he was throwing it to, but you threw it in three-man coverage. There was three defenders in the vicinity. I don't know what the hell you was looking at. If those two plays happen on the positive side, we might be singing a different tune. Baltimore might be on their way to the Super Bowl and not Kansas City. But this is where the experience comes into play. And I remember everybody was saying the whole talk, oh, this is the first year Mahomes is on the road. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. If you look at the playoffs this year, aside from everything that everybody was saying in the regular season about Kansas City, from their playoff game against Buffalo and their playoff game against the Ravens, they look like the old Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes looks like he has a number one receiver now in Rice. He looks like he has a primary receiver. I mean, I still say Kelce is his number one receiver, but obviously he's a tight end. I would say he's his favorite target. Let's just say that. But listen, at the end of the day, the better team won. The team that wanted it the most won. And that was the Kansas City Chiefs. We're not going to sit here and make excuses for Baltimore. They had everything working in their favor. They had home field advantage. They had the number one seed. If anything, y'all should be the ones playing with the urgency, but unfortunately, y'all didn't. And we got to give credit to that Ravens, to that Chiefs defense. This is the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has played with his whole career. Now, mind you, this is his sixth year in the league. Seventh year, sixth playing. And every year that he's been in the league, he has been either in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Think about that for a minute. In 6 years, he's either in the AFC Championship game or he's in the Super Bowl. And now you can add this to the equation too. He's already a Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say, oh, he's chasing my man Brady for the GOAT title. We ain't going that far. Not just yet. You got to rack up a couple of more Super Bowls before you can even entertain that conversation. If you win this Super Bowl and possibly win two more, then maybe I'll entertain the convo. But we not there yet. And I don't know if we'll get there. You know what I'm saying? But again, the better team won. The team that wanted it the most. Now, obviously, y'all know what my hiccup for this game is. And that's them constantly showing Taylor Swift. Y'all know I couldn't go without speaking about that. It's like every time Kansas City scored, they had to show her. Every time Travis Kelce caught a pass, they had to show her. We know she at the game. We don't need to see her like that, yo. We really don't. We really don't need to see her like that. Just show her once and keep it moving. But at the end of the game, she runs on the field. They hugging, kissing. Oh, that's so cute. That's so beautiful. I tell you what. Listen, this Super Bowl is going to be in Vegas. Usher is performing. Now, Hov, I know you in charge of the Super Bowl shit. Don't let that girl get on that stage. Do not let her overshadow Usher. The Super Bowl Sunday is Usher's night. Do not have that girl jump on that stage. I don't care if you let her perform one song. She ain't performing shit that night. That's Usher's night. And don't let her overshadow that shit. But again, the better team won. You know, Kansas City was hearing a lot of the chirping all season. And they stayed the course. You know, they basically had the mindset of, y'all can say what y'all want, but as long as we make the playoffs, everything is zip-zip once the playoffs start. And once it starts, we gonna show y'all what we made of. And again, they're in the Super Bowl. Once again, they are in the Super Bowl. So congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning the AFC Championship and going to the Super Bowl. So what's next? The San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers had themselves a game, to say the least. Now, this game, I had to wait till I got home to watch this game because I was at work. And again, the unit that I was working, I had to start cleaning four specific rooms. And while I was cleaning those rooms, you can't be on your phone. You got on a big ass bunny suit and you got all this mask gear on, so you're not able to watch the game. It wasn't until I was done where I was able to get updates and shit like that. And I think it was halftime when I found out. And I think the score was 24-7 at the time. And I was just shocked, like, whoa, whoa. And then, of course, towards the latter end of the night, you find out that the Niners won. So I go home and I watch the game so I can give my opinion about it. And all I have to say is this. Detroit, what was y'all thinking? What was y'all thinking? But see, this is where the lack of experience comes into play. Because there's plenty of, there's two plays in particular, at least for me, where I say that they blew this game. And it was the two fourth downs that they had. Now, I get that Dan Campbell is very aggressive with going for it on fourth down. I totally get that. He's an aggressive head coach, and that's what his team likes about him. That's what they love about him. Like, the Lions have a head coach that you might want to walk through a brick wall for. You understand what I'm saying? But I think in this situation, for a team that does not have the playoff experience, if you have an opportunity to kick a field goal and just get 3 points, you kick the 3 points and you get the 3 points and you keep it moving. It was two times they went for it on fourth down. I believe one time it was fourth and two, and the other time was fourth and three. If you convert those two fourth downs, who knows what you do? You might go down the field and possibly get a touchdown. Or, how about this? You just take the field goals. That's 6 points. That's 6 points right there, right? You lose by a field goal. So let's say that you do kick those two field goals. And let's say you make both of them. 37-34. That at least gives the Niners a chance to possibly do something. The Lions choked this game away, regardless to however you put it. If you got a lead like that, 24-7, and you're in a hostile environment, which is the Bay, home of the Niners, you're supposed to walk away with that game. And then, there's another portion of this game that I found very crazy. You ran the ball like crazy in the first half. I honestly think, if my memory serves me correct, I think the Lions probably ran the ball probably 6 or 8 times in that second half. Now, why would they change their play calling? That's where the lack of experience comes into play. You got to remember, the Lions don't know nothing about the playoffs. Let's just call it what it is. They don't. Prior to this year, the last time they was in the playoffs was what? Early 2010? And that was a first round exit to New Orleans. I remember that playoffs. And then prior to that, I think the last time they was in the playoffs was 1991. That's when Barry Sanders was playing. That might have been his last year, I think. So this Detroit team, this Lions team, they don't know nothing about playoff experience. They just don't. And I think that's what happened in this game. I think the lack of experience fucked them over in the second half. They got very comfortable in the first half. Jared Goff played great. Montgomery ran the ball. Gibbs did his thing. Both of them did their thing. Williams, he had one run for 42 yards, but it was a big run, and it was a confidence booster and a momentum shifter as well. All three of those things they had in the first half. But what happens? Gibbs fumbles the ball in the fourth quarter. Or the second half, I believe. You miss these two field goals. I mean, you don't even miss the field goals. You don't go for them. That's what I meant to say. You were supposed to go for those field goals. But then again, like I said, if you've been doing this all season long, if you've been aggressive the whole season and going for it on fourth down, some would say stick to what you know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because for the most part, when they went for it on fourth down, they converted. It wasn't like, oh, they go for it all the time and they not converting. They had a very amazing percentage of converting on fourth down. But I just truly believe that it's playoff time. NFC Championship game. The Super Bowl is on the line. Okay? You don't know if you're going to get this opportunity again. So, in this situation, being that you don't have the experience like that, why not just play it conservative? Just take the 3 points and keep it moving. See, if I was the coach, that's what I would have done. And then I would have just dealt with the consequences later on down the line had we lost the game. But I respect the fact that the Lions team, every player co-signed their coach. They didn't throw him under the bus. They ride for their coach. And I could definitely see him. I mean, I don't know what his contract situation is, but I could definitely see them giving him that bag later on down the line. But he did say something about how, you know, it's not a guarantee that they'll be back here. He's right. The NFC is going to be very interesting next season. We got an emerging Green Bay Packers team who's in their division. We don't know what's going to happen with the Vikings. We don't know what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears. You still got the Eagles. You still got the Cowboys to some degree. You still got Tampa and, you know, you still got Tampa in the South. You still got New Orleans. So he's absolutely right. We don't know if they're going to be back there next season or for the foreseeable future. That's more of a reason on why you should have been more conservative with some of your decision-making. That's just my opinion. But we got to give credit to the Niners because I'm not going to lie to you. Had they lost this game, I kept saying to myself, if the Niners lose this game, y'all better have that same energy for Kyle Shanahan that y'all have for all these other coaches. Because this was somebody who's been pampered and coddled for so many years and did nobody say nothing to him. The only blemish on his resume is the Super Bowl where he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons against New England. And then the Super Bowl a few years ago with the Chiefs. Those are the two blemishes on his career. But let's keep it a funk. Let's keep it funky. Aside from that Super Bowl, how many other trips has he gone to prior to this one? Not that many. But they have been to NFC Championship games, and they lost them prior to this one. So I was kind of waiting to see what the media out there would say had Kyle Shanahan lost this game. I want to see whether they're going to have the same energy for him that they have for all these other coaches that can't win the big one. But I guess we're going to have to wait because in 2 weeks, we got the Chiefs and we got the 49ers and the Super Bowl, a rematch from a few years ago. Now, my whole thing is for all of those people that said, oh, it's script, it's script, it's going to be Ravens and Niners. How do y'all feel now? Like, you had people, like, what was it? Somebody had a, I think they had, like, for those of y'all that have TVs, which I'm sure you do, you know, when you have cable and you can click on the menu and it tells you know, what the show is about or some shit. It was saying that how February 11th is the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. Basically saying that all of this is script. All of this is rigged. You even had people saying that how, oh, it's rigged because look at the logo for the Super Bowl. The colors is red and purple. Which teams wear red and which team wears purple? The Niners, Ravens. Well, you could put that theory to sleep because the 49ers answered their bell. Baltimore didn't. So, you can't talk that script shit now. Now, I'm not going to give my prediction yet. I got a whole week to do that. A whole week to do that. But I will say this, though. I know it's not going to happen. And it's on CBS, too. So, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to try to refrain from breaking my phone because it just so happens I work Super Bowl weekend, so I won't be able to watch the game at home, but I will be able to watch it at work. The Taylor Swift Fest is going to be on fire that day. It's going to be on fire that day. Now, I'm trying to control myself. I really am because it's really irking me with the coverage that they keep showing her on TV. Like, it's really irking my soul. It really is. Now I see why Al Michaels wasn't able to do the football games on, what was it? I think NBC. I think it was NBC he couldn't do. I did some research, and this is what I discovered with this whole Taylor Swift fest. Taylor Swift has generated an equivalent brand value of $331.5 million for the Chiefs and the NFL. With her being at these games, that's how much she's generated the NFL and the Chiefs, including print, digital, radio, TV, highlights, and social dating back to September. So since the season started, basically, since week one, when it was announced that her and Travis Kelce has been dating, that's how much money she brought to the NFL for a whole season. $331.5 million. That's how much she's brung in. Now, I know some people, y'all with the whole script shit. I get it. I know a lot of y'all are. Let Kansas City win this Super Bowl. Y'all gonna really say that it's script. Y'all gonna really say it's script. Listen, we needed Lamar Jackson to do one thing and one thing only. Now, yes, I picked Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, but I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I was rooting for Lamar Jackson. I really was. I was rooting for Baltimore. It got to the point where Ray Lewis had to come to the game and do his dance that we all love. Before the fourth quarter started, T. Suggs came out the tunnel. All that was left was for Ed Reed to come out. So you had three legends from Baltimore. Well, two, because Ed Reed didn't come out. So you had two Baltimore legends come out. And y'all still disappoint? It sucks, man. It's disappointing. It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing. But again, the better team won. The better team wanted it. Experience played a role. Don't let nobody tell you that experience does not play a role in postseason basketball, football, baseball, because it damn sure does. Your talent can get you but so far. But experience will definitely be a key if you're able to advance or not. And we got a whiff of that in both games. In both games, we got a whiff of experience playing a big role. But enough of that. Let's get to the Royal Rumble. Now, for those of y'all that don't know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Huge wrestling fan. I've been watching wrestling since I was 5 years old, right? I've seen them come, I've seen them go. I've had debates with people on which pay-per-view event is their favorite. Me personally, it's gonna always be WrestleMania because that's the showcase of the Immortals. That's the grandest stage of them all. Some people say it's the Royal Rumble. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I had so much hopes and expectations for this Royal Rumble. Some of it I liked, some of it I was disappointed, and I'm gonna get to it right now. Let me just put it out there now. The women's Royal Rumble dog walked the men's Royal Rumble. And what I mean by that is the women's Royal Rumble was way better than the men's Royal Rumble. Way better. May I count the ways? And I'm about to tell you now. My first reason, my baby Bayley won. Yes, my boo Pamela won. Yes, ding dong. Yes, Bayley won this year's 2024 Royal Rumble. She is my favorite female superstar. I just love Bayley. For what she has done for this company. And you got to remember, she held this company down when the pandemic took place. Do y'all remember when Raw and SmackDown and NXT was being done at the Performance Center? And you had like the screens of fans in the audience, but it wasn't really fans, it was like screens. Bayley and Sasha Banks held that era down. Primarily Bayley, because she was the champ at the time. She gets injured, unfortunately, comes back, and what does she do? She pushes younger talent. She pushes younger talent. Now it got to the point where she gets lost in the shuffle. She's losing matches and all this, that, and the third, but she's still pumping that fuel. She's still putting in that energy. And she's still a fan favorite, even though she's a heel, but she's still a fan favorite. I thought it was fitting for Bayley to win. And I loved it that she won without the help of Damage Control. And another reason why I loved it so much was, I'm not gonna lie to you, it wasn't predictable. Now, yes, I had her winning, but I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I thought Becky was gonna win. Because I'm thinking Becky's going to win from the mindset of maybe they try to set up a Rhea Ripley-Becky Lynch match at Mania. That's what I'm thinking. The last thing I'm thinking is that Bayley is going to win, right? Glad I was wrong. Because, listen, my baby has done it all. She has done it all. She's a Grand Slam champion, which means she has won every title you can think of in WWE. She's won the Women's Championship, Raw and SmackDown. She's won the NXT Women's Championship. She's won Money in the Bank, right? She's cashed in her Money in the Bank. She's, what, two-time Women's Tag Team Champ. She's done it all. The only thing she did not do was win the Royal Rumble. But now you can X that off. Because now she's done it. So that's one reason why that Rumble was better than the men's. Let's get to number two. The second reason that I think the women's Royal Rumble was better than the men's Royal Rumble. We might be embarking on a match that we've been waiting for so long. The debut of Jade Cargill. Now, part of me knew that she was coming out for the Royal Rumble. I just didn't know what number she was going to come out. I believe it was either 27 or 28. I believe it was 28. That was the number she came out. And for the little bit of time that she was there, because, listen, spoiler, if you didn't watch, too bad. She was the final three. It was her, Bayley, and the return of Liv Morgan, who came out at number 30. That's another reason why their Rumble was better, because of the surprise entries, the return entries. The little bit of time that she was in there, she made an impact. We got to see a glimpse of her and Bianca Belair do what they do best, and that's overpower women. They both, I forgot who it was. I think Bianca had Liv Morgan, and I think Jade had Becky Lynch over their shoulders, and then just dropped them. And then you just see Bianca and Jade looking at each other. But what I found so fitting was how the WrestleMania logo for this year was in the background. The writing's on the wall for this match to happen at WrestleMania. It's not set up to happen on a Raw. It's not set up to have a match on SmackDown. It's not set up to wait all the way to August for SummerSlam. You have got to put this match on the grandest stage of all, and that's WrestleMania. I honestly think that we need to have at least 3 or 4 women matches on WrestleMania. Because remember, you got night one and you got night two. Bianca and Jade gotta be one of those nights. That's money right there. That's money, and that's living proof from what happened at the Royal Rumble. My third reason that the women's Royal Rumble was better than the men's. I know this lady gets a lot of flack. Well, before she got released, she got a lot of flack. I don't think she's gotten a lot of flack like that since she's been back, but Nia Jax, listen, I know Bayley won, and I'm glad my girl won. But for me, Nia Jax was the MVP. She was the MVP. She showed the fuck out. She did her thing in that Royal Rumble. I believe she was the MVP. I believe she was the unsung hero. Let me not say MVP because she lost. So I can't say she's the MVP. Bayley's the MVP. But the unsung hero was Nia Jax. She did an amazing job in the Royal Rumble. And I believe she had the most eliminations. Naomi returned. Naomi returned at number 2, right? The whole Forbidden Door thing. Obviously, that didn't happen because Jordynne Grace from TNA was in the match. She was in the Rumble. And she had a nice little outing in it, too. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I don't care. But Chelsea Green had me laughing in the Rumble. Like, the way that she was getting her ass beat and the way she was selling the moves made the match even more entertaining for me. So I just thought overall the Women's Royal Rumble was much better than the Men's Royal Rumble. Because now I'm going to tell you why the Men's Royal Rumble was a dub. The first reason it was a dub wasn't because it was predictable. Very predictable. I knew who was going to win, and I knew who the last two was going to be. So there was no suspense there. We all knew that it was going to be Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, the final two. We all knew that. And if you didn't know that, then something wrong with you. CM Punk comes back after being gone 10 years. Lets it be known he wants to headline WrestleMania, so he's going to join the Royal Rumble. Right? Cody Rhodes wins last year's Royal Rumble. Loses to Roman Reigns last year at WrestleMania. So the whole finish the story, that whole thing is set up. We all know that they have the utmost respect for each other. But we also know that only one of them can win the Royal Rumble. This is not a situation where, who was it? I think it was 93, if I'm not mistaken, where Lex Luger and Bret Hart, they both, it was a tie for the Royal Rumble, right? And I believe WrestleMania 10, I believe they both fought Yokozuna, the late great Yokozuna. Lex Luger lost his match, Bret won his match, right? This is not a situation here. I knew off the rip Cody Rhodes was gonna win. Because as much as I'm a fan of CM Punk, I didn't think that dude was gonna be gone for 10 years and they say, okay, you've been gone for 10 years, we're gonna let you win the Royal Rumble. Nah, that's not gonna happen. And I think that would have set the wrong precedence in that locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like I honestly think that would have been the wrong move to make by having him go over in the Rumble. Because let's be real. There's two matches that's already set for the Rumble. Cody and Roman. Hold that thought because we, hold on. Let's see what The Rock got to say about that, right? But Cody already let it be known. He won the Rumble. Roman Reigns was in the suite. He pointed at him, basically declaring who he wants. CM Punk wants a title shot. Who's the other champ? Seth freaking Rollins. That's another match that's already locked and loaded for the for WrestleMania. So for me, the men's Royal Rumble was such a disappointment because there were no surprises. And then the surprises we got, they were duds for me. Okay, Andrade came back. He was at AEW. He left them, comes back to WWE. He did okay, but it wasn't an eye-opener for me. You know what I'm saying? Sami Zayn returned. He was the last entry in the Rumble. Honestly, the fans wasn't too happy for that. And his performance was bland. See, me personally, that 30th spot should have been The Rock. It should have been him. Now, I'm not saying it should have been him and he should have won, but I think it should have been him to make it interesting. Because that men's, listen, I'm gonna say it, the men's Royal Rumble was trash. Straight up trash. Put that shit in the garbage and set it on fire. That's how trash it was. The best part of the men's Royal Rumble, and I know this is going to sound crazy, the best part of the men's Royal Rumble was R-Truth. That was the best part. The best part was when R-Truth came out. When Mysterio was getting his ass beat and R-Truth is outside the ring, looking to get tagged in. Dude, this is a Royal Rumble. There is no tags in the Royal Rumble, which is crazy that Dominic Mysterio winds up tagging him in the Rumble anyway. That was the most entertaining and best part of the whole men's Royal Rumble. Oh, and Braun Breaker. The way he handled Gunther in that match. Because I read something where that was supposed to be Brock Lesnar that was going to be in the Rumble. Everything that Braun Breaker did in that match was supposed to be Brock Lesnar. But, you know, Brock Lesnar, you know, dealing with some heated issues right now that we'll get into another time. But, yeah, the men's Royal Rumble was trash. The men's Royal Rumble was trash. The Women's Royal Rumble was 10 times better. 10 times better. 10 times better. Yeah, that's basically it. Now, like I said, it was too predictable for me. And that's another reason why I didn't fuck with it, because it was too predictable for me. I knew Cody was going to win, and I knew the last two was going to be him and Punk. I knew it would be them two, the last two fighters standing for the Royal Rumble. It was too predictable for me. And when it becomes too predictable, I can't fuck with it. The Women's Royal Rumble, It wasn't predictable. I didn't know what was going to happen with it. I didn't. Now, my only hiccup for the Women's Royal Rumble was Sasha Banks didn't come out. Now, has she came out? That would have been dope. Alexa Bliss. I would have loved for Alexa Bliss to come out. Oh, wait. There's another entertaining spot for the Men's Royal Rumble. And I kid you not, as God is my witness, I'm just leaving work. I leave work at 10:25. The Men's Royal Rumble is just getting ready to start. Jey Uso is entry number one. As God is my witness, he can strike me down right now. My initial reaction was, you want to make this shit entertaining? Let Jimmy be number two. And who came out number two? Jimmy Uso. I'm on the train laughing like, yo, he really came out at number two. He really came out at number two. So for me, those were the two entertaining moments for the Men's Royal Rumble. And it didn't have shit to do with the match. It was just the entertainment factor. And that was Jimmy and Jey opening the Rumble because, let's be real here, that match is happening at Mania. The Uso brothers will be going against each other at Mania. So that's another match that you could pencil in. And then R-Truth. I mean, I like how my man Damian Priest handled him when he joined the Rumble. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, the Women's Royal Rumble, 10 times better than the Men's Royal Rumble. It wasn't that many matches overall. I mean, you had the Fatal 4-Way with Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight. Dope match. But again, that was predictable too. I knew who was going to win. We all knew who was going to win. We know Roman was going to win. And I didn't like the ending. I honestly didn't like that ending. And then you had, who was it? Logan Paul and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. Again, predictable. Predictable. You understand what I'm saying? So three of the four matches on the card, I knew what the outcomes was going to be. The only outcome I didn't know was the Women's Royal Rumble. I didn't know Bayley was going to win. I was rooting for her. I actually thought Becky was going to win. But I'm glad she didn't. Because now my girl Bayley gets to choose who she's going to face at Mania. And we know how this is going to play out. That's why Io Sky was so concerned after watching Bayley won. Because she know that her and Damage Control been shitting on Bayley. They know it. Dakota Kai, Io Sky, these are two women that Bayley gave the opportunity to come to the main roster. When Bayley made her return a few years ago at SummerSlam, who was the two women that she brung with her? She brung Dakota Kai and Io Sky. She brung them both to WWE. And this is the thanks that they get, that she gets. Asuka don't pay her no mind. Kairi Sane pays her no mind. So basically, Bayley is by herself in Damage Control. The other four pan together, and then it's like Bayley is the black sheep. But that's going to be put to rest soon because I don't know if Monday she going to make her decision. I don't know if today she going to make her decision or probably Friday on SmackDown, but she going to make her decision on who she's going to go against because being that she won the Royal Rumble, she gets to decide on which champion she wants at Mania. It's not going to be Rhea Ripley. That's what she wants Damage Control to think. But that's not who she going after. She going after Io Sky, and I don't blame her. You bit the hand that fed you. See, it's one thing for both of us to be in the Money in the Bank, and you win. Okay, granted. First of all, I wanted Io to win Money in the Bank. I actually wanted either her or Zelina Vega to win because I felt both of them was deserving of a championship run. And it worked in my favor because Io Sky wound up winning at SummerSlam. But her title run has been kind of... So it's time for a new champ. And that new champ after WrestleMania 40 will be none other than Bayley. So there you have it. So that's my recap of the Royal Rumble. If I had to put a grade on the Royal Rumble, if I had to put a grade on it from school terms, you know, A, B, C, D, F, I give it a C-. I give it a C-. Because again, like I said, it was predictable. The Women's Royal Rumble was the only thing that held this show down. Oh, my man Pat McAfee came back. which I think that they wasted an entry in the Royal Rumble. Because once he saw that Omos was in there, he said, okay, I don't want no parts of this, and he eliminated himself. So that was a spot that could have went to another superstar. But it is what it is. It is what it is. But one more segment to speak on. And this is one that's dear to my heart. And the reason why it's dear to my heart is because for those of y'all that don't, if you don't know me by now, you know how much I love women's basketball. Whether it's NCAA college basketball or the WNBA. If you don't know by now, you know how much I love women's basketball. We just had a big game last weekend with South Carolina and LSU. Did y'all know that game drew more viewers on ESPN than TNT did? You had the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics playing the same time as LSU and South Carolina, and the ladies had more viewers than the NBA. Now listen, I have been saying this for the last 2 years. Women's college basketball has taken over college basketball, period. They are at the forefront. For years, it was the men. Remember a few years ago with the whole March Madness thing where they used March Madness for the men, but for the women, it was just NCAA tournament. No, you can't do that no more. Starting last year, you can't do that no more. The men had this big-ass facility where they could practice. The women had a small little area where they could work out. And no, none of that no more. What the men get, the women should now get. Just think of this for a minute. Think of all the marquee names in women's college basketball. Just think. It starts with Caitlin Clark, right? You got Cameron Brink in Stanford. You got Paige Becker at UConn. You got Angel Reese at LSU. You got her teammate Morrow at LSU. You got Johnson, the rapper, number 4. I can't pronounce her name. You got Cardoza from South Carolina. You got Juju Watkins at USC. That's a freshman. You got the young girl from Notre Dame. She's a freshman. I don't want to muffle her last name, but I know she's of Latin descent. Serious game. The two girls from Virginia Tech, Keatley and Amore. There's so many bright stars in women's college basketball that it's amazing. I don't hear this shit about the niggas. I honestly don't. Okay, UConn's number 1. Yeah, that's cute. Yeah, Purdue's number 2. Yeah, that's cute. But nobody gives a fuck. All the real talk when it comes to college basketball, it's about the women. It's about the ladies. The ladies have stole the show from the men in college basketball. And I said this before the season started, and I know it's not going to happen. But I had to say it anyway. I honestly think that this year, the women should be the one to close out the show. And what I mean by that is, y'all know how the Final Four, you have the men's Final Four, you have the women's Final Four on a Friday, then the men's is on Saturday. Then the women's national title game is Sunday, and then the men close it out on Monday. I think it should be in reverse this year. I truly believe that it should be in reverse this year. I truly believe that the women should close out this fucking season. I honestly believe it. These last 2 years have been nothing but amazing with women's college basketball. And I believe that they have the right to close out the show. They should close out the season. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but me being who I am and how much I love women's basketball and how proud I am of these young women, they deserve their flowers. They deserve it. They truly deserve it. So, listen, all these teams, keep doing your thing. The Connecticuts of the world, even though y'all constantly keep getting hurt. Stanford, South Carolina, LSU, Virginia Tech, UCLA, even though y'all losing lately. USC, Ole Miss, like, all of y'all, just keep making the noise. Colorado, keep making the noise that y'all are making. Apply that pressure on men's college basketball. Keep putting your foot on their necks, because right now, I'm going to say it again, and then I'm off this thing. Women's college basketball runs college basketball, period. The men is no longer the marquee no more. It's the women. So if y'all follow me on social media, whenever I post something about women's basketball, y'all know what I say. Give it up for the ladies. Well, right now, we need to give it up for these ladies, because it's very well deserving. Very well deserving. And on that note, it is a wrap for this episode. It is time for your boy to go. But I will say this, though. I got a couple of shout-outs to give out. It was a couple of people who had birthdays yesterday. Now, I didn't record yesterday, so I'm going to shout them out now. One of them is God MC Rakim. If you're a hip-hop fan and you don't know who that is, then to hell with you. But he's one of the greatest hip-hop MCs of all time, right? Lyrics of Fury, Paid in Full, Mahogany, Know the Ledge. I mean, the list goes on. I can keep going on with Don't Sweat the Technique. Like, the man got some joints. But happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to J. Cole. Jermaine Cole. And last but not least, happy birthday to my favorite NBA coach, who I think is the GOAT, and that would be Coach Greg Popovich. So those are my shout-outs for this episode. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts until April, because I believe they're going to disband. So after April, Google Podcasts will be over. So you can find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iHeart, if I didn't say that, Podbean. Y'all can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985. Or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The link is in the bio. Or you can find me on X, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. So once again, everybody, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 320 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, man. Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. This is some bonus content for episode 320. As soon as I finished recording episode 320, the original version of it, probably an hour later, I got a post from CM Punk. Well, not from him deliberately, but I got an update stating that CM Punk tore his tricep in the Royal Rumble. Now, I did not know this. Obviously, I watched the Royal Rumble and didn't see no effects from it. But I did get an alert saying that how he had tore his right tricep in the Royal Rumble. So being that he tore his tricep in the Royal Rumble, now WrestleMania is definitely not in the cards for CM Punk. Now, I know what I said earlier about CM Punk versus Seth freaking Rollins at WrestleMania. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, we was all looking forward to that match. I know the build-up to it has been something amazing. You know, the build-up basically started once the rumblings came about that he might be joining WWE. And the way CM Punk came back at Survivor Series and the video that was out, that how Seth Rollins was so pissed off and, you know, having Michael Cole and Corey Graves calm him down and stuff like that. Some people were saying it was real. Some people were saying it was staged. And then we get to the promo that they had with each other. It all was basically catapulting into the possibility of a future match with these two at WrestleMania. Now, me personally, like I said earlier in the first part, the right guy won. Cody Rhodes won. I don't see how CM Punk could be away from WWE for 10 years, talk malicious about them, and then bam, get rewarded the winner of the Royal Rumble. But even so, even doing all of that, he still was going to be in one of the main events at WrestleMania. So, hey, it is what it is, but it's unfortunate that he sustains this injury and he will not be on the card for the showcase of the Immortals. But with that being said, get well soon to CM Punk. Obviously, we know that you're going to be out for a while, but well wishes to you. And again, just get well soon, and there you have it. So since I'm already doing bonus content, I might as well speak on some other things to add to this episode. All-star reserves and all-star starters. Like, I might as well put everything in this episode now that I left off. I have no issue with the all-star voting. Actually, I do have one problem. I have a problem that Jalen Brunson is not a starter. Now, I do believe that Jalen Brunson should be starting over Damian Lillard in the All-Star game. This is my honest opinion. And this is no disrespect to Dame. But what Jalen Brunson is doing right now for this New York Knicks team cannot be ignored. It can't be. Now, I am not a Knicks fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I am a native New Yorker. The New York Knicks have not been this relevant since Patrick Ewing, okay? Even with Amari Stoudemire, even with Carmelo Anthony, even with Jeremy Lin, the Knicks have not been this credible of a threat in the Eastern Conference since Patrick Ewing days. I'm going to say this again. Even when Carmelo and Amari and Jeremy Lin was in Knick uniforms, the Knicks still wasn't that very much respected. They were getting praised, but they weren't very well respected. This New York Knicks team right now is currently on a 9-game winning streak. Jalen Brunson is averaging damn near 33, 34 points a game. You just saw what he did last night against Indiana in the Garden. You had fans chanting MVP for him to the point where he couldn't control his emotions. You can make a case that he deserves to be in that MVP conversation. He's available every game, and look what he is doing with this Knicks team. And again, this is all respect to Dame Lillard, but I honestly believe that Jalen Brunson should be starting over him in the All-Star game. That is my honest opinion. Haliburton, listen, he's putting up amazing numbers. Amazing numbers. And on top of that, he's hosting the All-Star game. It's in Indiana. So it's in his city. So obviously he's definitely going to start. But I honestly believe that Jalen Brunson should be starting over Dame Lillard, in my opinion. I honestly and truly believe that with all my heart, that he should be starting in this All-Star game before Dame Lillard. But see, this is the problem with the fans being able to dictate who starts. I think that's the problem. I think sometimes the fans somehow fuck opportunities up for certain players. Because, like I said, the New York Knicks are 15 games over 500. And this is the first time this has happened in damn near 11 years. And Jalen Brunson is at the forefront of that. And I think it should be rewarded and not ignored. Yes, he's an all-star, a deserving all-star. But I honestly believe that he should be starting as well. I honestly believe that he should be starting. Absolutely. Absolutely. Giannis, he's the captain. I have no issue with him. Joel Embiid, absolutely not. Have no issue with him. Tyrese Halliburton, I just said that. Jason Tatum, I have no issue with that. But I honestly think that Jalen Brunson should be replacing Dame as a starter. Bam, I have no problem with him being a starter. Paolo from Orlando, very well deserving. Orlando was doing amazing this year. I have no issue with him. Jaylen Brown, have no issue with him. Tyrese Maxey, young boy dropped 51 last night against Utah. Have no issue with him. Donovan Mitchell, have no issue with him. Julius Randle, have no issue with him. The Western Conference, I got no issue with their players either. Luka, KD, Shai Alexander, LeBron, Joker, that's the starters. The reserves, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Cat. I have no issue with these dudes. Now, listen, you're going to have those out there that say, what about them Sacramento boys? De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. Maybe Sacramento fans should vote more. Maybe they should. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate, though. It's very unfortunate. But on that Jalen Brunson shit, yeah, that really irked my soul when I saw that Dame was starting and he wasn't. I knew Brunson would be an all-star, but when they announced the starters and I saw that he was on there, I got offended. Like, I get that he did all this shit in Portland. And I get that he left Portland to come to Milwaukee to try to win a championship. I get all of that. But this is bullshit. Jalen Brunson should be starting in the All-Star game. I'm standing on business. I'm 10 toes down with that shit. I truly believe that he should be starting over Dame Lillard. Respectfully. Okay. Caitlin Clark. I have to speak on this woman. I have to speak on this young lady because she just continues to set records in college and women's college basketball. She is now second all-time in career points. All-time in women's college basketball. She passed Kelsey Mitchell this week. She now has 3,424 points. Standing in her way now is current Las Vegas Ace star Kelsey Plum, who has 3,527 points. I think it's safe to say that Caitlin Clark is breaking that record before this season is over. I don't know when, but as long as she stays healthy, she's breaking that record. She's for sure breaking that record. So definitely want to say congratulations to Caitlin Clark and continue to set records. Continue to reign terror in college basketball. Continue to do your thing. Continue to make your mark. Because she's just doing the damn thing. It's like every week you hear something new about her. Every week you hear something new about her possibly breaking a record. Now, this one that I want to speak on, I definitely couldn't leave this out. Definitely couldn't leave this out. Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu is going to duel in a 3-point contest All-Star Weekend. Now, if you remember, last year, for the WNBA All-Star Game, Sabrina Ionescu broke the record for most points in a 3-point shootout. I don't think nobody ever scored 31 in a 3-point contest before, whether it's NBA or WNBA. And Sabrina Ionescu did that. To the point that there was a video where Steph Curry was asking, I think, dang, who's the teammate of his? Is it DiVincenzo? I think it's DiVincenzo. He was asking him, you know, do you know who holds the record for points in a 3-point contest? He knew the answer right off the rip, Sabrina Ionescu. And then Steph Curry said, I might have to challenge her for that. I'm going to have to challenge her for that. Well, this week, it was announced that All-Star Weekend for the NBA, that not only are they going to do their actual traditional 3-point contest, Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu are going to go one-on-one for their 3-point shootout. And the rules are very simple. Traditional format. Well, actually, no. It's a 4-ball rack. Usually it's 5. And this situation is going to be 4. It's a 4-ball rack. 4-ball racks with 4 game balls and 1 money ball. The 5th rack will be a special all money rack. Both Steph and Sabrina can decide the spot for this rack. Which means it could be right in the center. It could be on the wings. Or it could be on the baselines. You got 2 starry range shots. You got a game ball that's worth 1 point. You got a money ball that's worth 2 points. And then you have a starry range that's worth 3 points. Steph will shoot from the NBA line with NBA basketballs. Now, this is the kicker. What I'm reading, it says Sabrina will shoot from the WNBA line with WNBA basketballs. This is where it gets interesting. Sabrina Ionescu tweeted and said that she will do it from the NBA 3-point line. Me, personally, I love this idea. I love this idea. I love the fact that Sabrina wants to do it from the NBA 3-point line. Because see, me personally, what this does is it makes things very interesting. Now, we all know that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in NBA history. We all know that. I think what makes this so interesting is Sabrina said, you know what? You challenged me. I accept your challenge. But not only am I going to accept your challenge, I'm going to shoot the threes from where you shoot them from. I'm not going to shoot them from where I shoot them from. I'm going to shoot them from where you shoot them from. Because let's be real, she has the range. So let's not sit here and act like she can't hack it and shoot threes, because she damn sure can. I'm not even going to mention her percentage from the 3-point line, because that's WNBA wise. But we do know for a fact that she can shoot threes. We do know she can shoot from the 3-point line. So I'm very much looking forward to this. But I have no problem with her still using the WNBA ball, though. I still have no problem with her using that. Because at the end of the day, You have a WNBA player that is going to be going one-on-one with an NBA player. You want the brand to expand in some way possible. You want some sort of representation for the WNBA. So why not let her use the WNBA basketball? But I love the fact that she said, I'll shoot from the NBA three-point line. I love that she said that. That shows that Mamba mentality. That shows that Okobe up there did her right as far as being her mentor. So trust me, I know the Black Mamba's up there smiling, seeing what his protege is doing. But I will say this, though. I have Steph winning. Let's just get that out the way. If Sabrina can make this interesting, which I think she can, if she can make this interesting, this could open the door for more WNBA players in the foreseeable future to be a part of All-Star Weekend. If this becomes a successful contest and it's not a landslide victory by Steph, this opens the door for future WNBA players. Because let's be real, next year, Caitlin Clark will be in the WNBA. Who's to say for the 2025 All-Star Weekend, she's not in this one-on-one with somebody? We don't know. Because me personally, I honestly think that some way, somehow, the WNBA should be somewhat involved with All-Star Weekend. Remember back in the day when they used to do the two ball? Where you had a current NBA player, a WNBA player, and a former NBA legend participate in two ball? That's where you had the WNBA player be involved in something. I think they need to bring that back and somehow have WNBA players involved in All-Star Weekend. Whether it's in a three-point shootout. Hell, even that obstacle course thing that they do. The skills challenge. You know what I'm saying? But let's see. I'm very much looking forward to this. Now, listen. In my head, I'm going with Steph. I'm going with Steph Curry to get the win. In my heart, I want Sabrina to win. Because y'all know how I am when it comes to women's basketball. And y'all definitely know how I am when it comes to the WNBA. I want to see these women flourish. I want to see them shine. And honestly, in my heart of hearts, I definitely want Sabrina to pull an upset. Because I'm quite sure nobody is giving her a shot. And if she can somehow pull this upset, that will be wonderful. But I know Steph gonna take this serious. He's not gonna be one of those players that take the three-point shootout for granted. And now that he knows that he's going up against Sabrina and she has the record, oh yeah, he's definitely gonna try to ball out for this. And I can't wait. But listen, that's the bonus content for this episode. I did about 20 minutes worth of it. So you got the original content, and then you got the extra bonus. So there you have it. God bless. Peace and love. Have a safe weekend. Your boy is out of here. Episode 320 is officially done. Catch y'all on the flip side. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man, Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's W-I-L-L spady@gmail.com or call him at 443-810-0384.